I'm Philip Holymood, and I'll be doing the gospel lesson, which comes from the book of Luke, chapter 6, verses 20 to 26. Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. The sermon title this morning is Blessed are the kids and young adults who grow up in Nassau Church. Their faith influence is of a God and spirit of love, grace, salvation, and forgiveness, because that is what this surrounding community has instilled in them. If you ask me, that's not a bad way to develop your faith as a young child. One centered around forgiveness and the eternal love of God, while acknowledging the more complex side of Christ as you grow up. Nassau is a place that has both. It teaches both sides because the older generations realize that the younger generations deserve to know and should know the whole picture of the faith they grew up with and are beginning to explore deeper and deeper. Blessed are the youth of Nassau Church who go on adventures like Beyond Malibu, Appalachia Service Project, Splash Camp, and so many more. It is through those wonderful and unique experiences that they learn how God is a part of it all. Every rock they climb up beyond, every house, and by extension, every life they improve in Appalachia, and all the fun they have at Splash Camp, God is there and present in it all. Blessed are every class of confirmands under Mark Edwards' guidance, myself being a member of the 2019 confirmation class. I can stand here today and say confidently that I am more comfortable now with talking about the difficult and hard questions and sides of the Christian faith because of that process, and because Mark taught my class of confirmands and all those before that confronting the difficult, really, really difficult questions, and often frustrating questions, is how you get to understand the faith on a deeper scale. So thank you, Mark, for challenging us to think and ponder about the most difficult questions. Thank you, because facing the tough questions brought our understanding of our faith to a new level. But more than that, it brought us closer to understanding God the Father and Jesus our Savior and Redeemer. Blessed are those who get to go on the confirmation retreats that bring each group of confirmands closer to their Creator, and so they get the most real, raw, and life-changing experience with Christ. My experience of the confirmation process and the confirmation trip to Lake Champion was emotional, freeing, and faith-changing. It was a unique and unforgettable experience because we were given the space to focus on and wrestle with the important questions of our faith without distractions. We didn't have distractions because Mark took our phones away. And for a teenager, that's a big deal. But it was impossible to miss our phones because we were always doing something. I'm glad my phone was taken away that weekend, because it allowed me to focus on the whole point of the retreat getting closer to the Creator above and understanding why I wanted to get confirmed. Blessed are, and finish the sentence. For me, this is easy. Blessed are the members of Nassau Presbyterian Church, for they love God with their whole hearts. The sermon text discusses how God blesses the least among humans, like in verse 20, in the beginning of the passage. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." See, merciful and uplifting the less fortunate in God's eye, and in God's eyes, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. We see this again in verse 25. "Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing, for you will mourn and weep." Again, with the last shall be first and the first shall be last. That's what's amazing about Christ the Redeemer. He puts the care of the poorest of his children at the top of his agenda, but still manages to love us all with the same level of compassion, salvation, and eternal love. How is that possible, is my question. Want to know the answer? It's because God is all-powerful, and so things like this are normal for God. We just choose to ignore it somehow, even though we should celebrate and notice even the smallest things God does. Because everything, no matter how small, is a miracle. In fact, look around you right now and realize this holy space is a miracle. Your family is a miracle. You are a miracle. Blessed are we who are miracles created by the Most High God. For that, I say amen. Thanks be to God.
To be blessed. I ask this because we all see the word used in several different ways. People who play video games may say RNG bless when the game's sophisticated random number generators give them convenient items or effects. Famous singer Bruno Mars also sings for us to mindlessly spend our money and blame it on Jesus hashtag blessed. In addition, many of us consider ourselves blessed when random events under God's command spare us from things such as a trip or fall without any wounds, which has certainly happened to all of us in the past. However, being blessed does not always mean benefit. Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God," as if they are holy beings. Those who can't put food on the table will be filled in the kingdom of God. Those who weep and mourn over tragic losses in Ukraine and Russia will laugh in the kingdom of God. These people are blessed. Furthermore, there are people who annoy us, people we would rather not spend time with. Sometimes we are that person. Luke says to them, or to us, "Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on the account of the Son of Man." That doesn't feel blessed. On the other hand, many who are rich, such as celebrities, earned reputation and popularity through several things besides the truth. In many cases, they exaggerated and lied about the status for personal gain. Is that blessed? Take a look at the events of Martin Luther King Jr.'s protests. MLK and his parade would march in nonviolent protests for justice, only to face hatred, insults, exclusion, violence, and even death. Its members were so poor that a poll tax of less than a dollar would usually be what it took to prevent African Americans from voting. So why did they not give up? Perhaps Luke gives us a clue on this as well. He says that we should rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. We have mocked the poor just as our ancestors mocked the prophecies. We and our ancestors worshipped gold and wealth as idols, while the poor worked to their knees, praying to God and only God. There are many among the disadvantaged, those who mourn, the hungry, and the poor, who show us God's way, which is why we must not ignore them. We only deceive ourselves when saying that breaking a world record, earning a Grammy, winning a race, or earning a raise at work means that we're the only gifted and the blessed ones. Many of us have worked hard and even suffered pain for achievement, but achievements on earth do not make us more blessed in God's kingdom, for no one is perfect. What Jesus teaches us about blessings will bring the moral arc, like a rainbow, down to its final destination, justice. Even if you don't see this now, I believed that justice will eventually come, and I hope you do too. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. A few minutes ago, Julia A. gave a wonderful sermon, and B. talked about how so frequently in youth group, Mark asks us difficult questions. So I'd like now to ask us all some difficult questions that I personally have been struggling with recently. But first, I'd like to reread the first half of our scripture lesson for today. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man." How often do we stop for those in need? How often are we nice to our brother, our sister, our parents, or our kids? How often do we stop for a guy sitting outside of Target asking for spare change? How often do we stop for the mother on the corner with the cardboard sign? How often do we stand up when a coworker says something racist, homophobic, or sexist? How often do we shrug and say, "Somebody else will do it," or, "Gee, I wish there was something I could do"? How often do we walk right past the poor, the weeping, the hated, and the hungry? Newsflash, there is always something you can do. Even if you don't have the material means to help someone in need, sometimes all somebody needs is a conversation, to be heard and comforted and encouraged. There is always, always something we can do. The church doesn't have a great track record for when it comes to stopping for the blessed either. Since nearly 1,700 years ago, when Christianity was adopted as the official religion of the Roman Empire, it has been used to legitimize several terrible world events since then. When the Spaniards and the Portuguese conquered much of South America in the 1400s and 1500s for monetary gain, it was justified by the idea that indigenous people there needed saving, although saving sure is a funny word for become a Christian or be killed. The Holocaust was backed by Christian Nazis, two words that should not go together. In 2016, 80% of American evangelicals voted for a man bent on divisiveness, hatred, and white supremacy. Today, a war rages on in Ukraine, started by a man who would claim to be a Christian. This, of course, is not to say that Christians are always terrible, but while sifting through the history of the world in my world history class last year, it sure was difficult to find a time when Christians collectively came together on a large scale to do something good for the world. To quote Harry, though, we only deceive ourselves if we say that our achievements make us more blessed. To say the least, I have been struggling. A few weeks ago, during a service on February the 20th, I nearly cried while reading the prayer of confession, the prayer for illumination, and the prayer of thanksgiving, because I couldn't help but think that so many of the things that we were saying, like, "We pay more attention to our own survival than to the well-being of those around us," and "That we may speak your love," were things that we would just brush past come Monday morning, or heck, Sunday afternoon. So before we're done here today, I have a question for all of us. Are we the blessed? We seem to think so, but I think we are called to help the poor, feed the hungry, comfort the weeping, and love the hated. Amen.